does, and thank God that he does. I just want to take a second to thank some people, especially Darren and Michelle, for putting up with me and my son through the last little while, for Pastor Mitchell and Linda for inviting me down. But I realised after this morning that I need to thank you people. I gathered that there was several unsaved people here this morning that were invited to come and hear a pretty average speaker, but you invited them, and I thank you for that. And God will give the increase, and God will give the blessings. I'm only a mouthpiece, but you doing your bit to bring people along to God's house is a huge ask, and I want to thank everybody who did that. And we pray, and I will continue to pray for you, that God will bless and that God will add to your fellowship. You know, this building's an amazing building, but the lively stones in it is what makes the difference. That's what God is precious about. You know, one day this building won't be here. One day it'll be gone. Who knows when? But you, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, will go on forever and ever. That's what we need to build. That's what we need to build. Each other up in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a look at God's Word tonight. I've got a couple of verses that we will be researching and having a look. It's something that I love to do and love to. I love to go through God's Word. It's probably something a little bit silly in my head, but I love finding names. I love finding places. And I love going to my Strongs, my concordances, and finding out what those places mean or where they might feature in the Bible. And it's amazing sometimes what you find out about somebody. And we're going to find out about this gentleman today. I was doing a little message a couple of months ago, and I meant to ask the young people at the group last night, which was an incredible blessing to me, young people, to see so many of you there. Can anybody tell me, by Bible definition, the two greatest men that ever lived in the Bible? One of them is easy. Anybody? Pastor Al? Amen. There's none greater lived, Jesus said, than John the Baptist. The amazing thing is, they were cousins. Their mothers were related. And both of those men really were incredible births. John the Baptist, because his mother and father were incredibly old. Jesus, because his mother and father were incredibly young. And these are two of the greatest men that had a greatest impact in the Bible in God's time. And they're so close together at the same time. And as I looked at these two men and I looked at what they've done through history, it just opened my mind up that God can use anybody. God can actually use anybody to be great in his kingdom. But they, as we know, are the two greatest men that the Bible tells us that ever were. And their parents were different parents, incredible parents. And as I search and find little things like that, I love to find, I love to look at them, and I love to research those sort of things. And today, tonight, we're going to have a look at another sort of incredible man, I think. Now, I would like if you could turn to Numbers chapter 13. That's where we're going to start. We're not going to stay there, but we are going to start there. Numbers chapter 13. Now, by way of introduction, I would like to thank everybody again for the blessing that I've had to be here and the invitation. Now, one of the great things I love to do, as I said, is I love to search out names, special events and things. Now, I recently came across such a man, and you would know him. His name is Caleb. And you would know him as one of the 12 spies that went into the land of Israel. Now, as you young people have probably learned in Sunday school, there was two men who came back with a very favourable report, Caleb and Joshua, the other 10 spies, threw a spanner in the works and wrecked it. Now, I want you, if you have your phone or something with you, I need some help. I want someone to tell me, if you can tell me the definition or the name of Caleb. You can get your phone out. You can research it if you've got something. Can someone tell me what the name Caleb means? I know what it means. Pastor Al's not allowed to. Has anybody got something that can help me out here? What does his name mean in the Hebrew? Come on, someone help me out. Yes. Sorry? Bald. Bald, yeah. It means something else as well, too. Have a look. If you go right back into your Strong's and have a look, it means dog. You go right back into your Strong's and go through to your concordance, you will find it means actually dog. It has a double meaning. Now you might know, might not realize this, but Caleb was a Gentile. Caleb was actually a Gentile. And we're going to have a look at this shortly, because he came from the Kenzanites. And we're going to go through and have a look. And one of the amazing things about this man is what God asked him to do. We're going to have a reading. I'll show you this as we go through. He was a Gentile. Now, Numbers 13, 1 to 6. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search of the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe, of their fathers, and shall send every man one ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. These were the names of the tribes, of those tribes, of Reuben, Shema, the son of Zakur, of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephthah. God asked Moses to pick these men, but he especially asked Caleb to be of the head of the tribe of Judah. Now, what I want to do here, notice who they were and where they were sent. God commands Moses to send these men into the land of promise. Now, we know that out of these 12 spies, two of them came back with a great report. Now, we need to skip forward about 40 years to the book of Joshua. Okay? So I want you to come to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. We're going to have a look at this point here, to the division of the land. And we're going to have a look at Joshua 14, verses 5 and 6. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. They divided the land. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, the Kenzanite. See his land? There's no tribe of the children of the Kenzanites. The Kenzanites were actually a group of people who lived in their own land. And when you come out of Egypt and cross the Red Sea, one of the first groups that you came into as Moses came over the Red Sea was the land of the Kenzanites. And it was a land that was incredibly hostile. It was a land that were some of the battles that were fought in the Lord's time, in the children of Israel's time. But we see here that Caleb, his father was of the Kenzanites. Now, we're not told exactly how he got to be in the children of Israel, whether he was in slavery in Egypt with Moses and the rest of them, whether as Moses and the children of Israel came through the Kenzanite land around the edge of it, whether Caleb's father seen the cloud or the pillar, we're not told. But we're told that he was very highly thought of and positioned in the children of Israel. We're not told how he got there. But as you can see from there, he came from the Kenzanites. He was a Gentile, probably a proselyte who converted over to Judaism somewhere in the future. So we see that these two... Now, if you know your tribes, you will know that there were no Kenzanites tribes. Caleb came into the camp of Israel, very highly regarded, a great man of faith. Now, as I said, I'm not mentioning, I can't make any thoughts because it doesn't tell us how he got there, but we know that he is there. Now, I want to read to you verses 8 and 9 of chapter 14. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, this is Caleb, talking to Joshua about the land in verse 8, 9 and 14. Chapter 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9. And Moses sware unto that day, as Moses sware unto me that day, saying, surely the land whereon my feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Verse 14. Hebron whereon became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. There are three verses that tell you about this man's heart. A Gentile proselyte who had a heart like no one else, other than probably Joshua, for God in the children of Israel. And Caleb's turn has come around to have his land. That land that he wanted to go in and fight for, that land 40 years earlier that he tried to encourage his brethren to take, was going to be his. And we read here very shortly about that land. So we see that Caleb came to the point, he demanded that land that so often 40 years earlier had come about. Now, isn't it amazing that this was not said about anyone else in the whole of the camp of the children of Israel? That he wholly followed the Lord, my God, he says, with his whole heart. Now, Caleb had some unfinished business with some of God's enemies. In chapter 14, verse 11 to 14, we find this. Chapter 14, verse 11 to 14. Yet as I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spoke this to me in that day. For thou heardest that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, and so be the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord hath said. Now, I'll keep going on to 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, we can learn a lot just about these few verses on an issue called faith. I think one of the greatest things people I find today within the household of God over COVID and the time, there's two things that I find that people are struggling with: faith and prayer. Because we've been so busy in our world with work, and because we've been so busy doing these things and the COVID and all those things, as I talk to a lot of Christian people, I find that there's a lot of struggles going on with people, with work commitments, with business, family, all these things that come about. And faith and prayer are two things that take time. Why does faith take time? Faith only comes by working, living, talking, and being in God's presence. And if you ever doubted that, you just look at what Caleb, the man, was about. Do an in-depth study on this man and find out what he was made of. And today, more than ever, we need prayer, we need faith, because if the days become darker, it's your faith that will stand you in good stead. Your prayer and your faith could be the very things that will stand you in maybe, possibly, the dark days to come. I don't know, but maybe. Now, I want to have a look at this man's faith. Let's go through and have a look. We can learn a lot about this man just from these few verses about faith and warfare. Physical strength. He says, I'm as strong today at 85 years of age, is when he says this. I am as strong today as the day when we entered the land. I wish I could say that. It's definitely not true for me. God gives strength, that's true. But you know, God also gives spiritual strength. And that's what Caleb was. He was physically strong, but he was incredibly spiritually strong. You know, if we need to fight God's enemy, we need both to be physically, but we certainly need to be spiritually strong. Now, verse 12 gives us a little bit of help here. Now, I just want to say this before we go on. God gives us spiritual strength, but unbelief destroys spiritual strength. What we find in Caleb here is an incredible belief in God, that God is going to deliver him that land. Belief is the thing that gives us strength. Unbelief is the thing that destroys our strength and our faith in God. And unbelief can come into our lives just as much as belief can. And it's all got to do with the relationship like Caleb had with the Lord God. You notice it says there, he followed the Lord God with his whole heart. That's what it comes down to. No matter what happens in your life, God does not make mistakes. Put your heart in God's hands and trust him, and you can do everything that Caleb has done and did. And we're going to have a look at that now. Just have a look at verse 12 with me. Verse 12 of chapter 14. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest him that day, how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, there's a few things in these verses that I hope encourage you about faith. Some interesting things here. He wants to fight for a mountain. You know what mountains are? They're uphill. They're uphill. He wants this mountain because God said he'd give it to him. Do you know how hard it is to fight going uphill? You've walked up a hill, I'm sure. I've been to my wife's lovely country of Switzerland, and they are mountains like you couldn't imagine. And people, humans, walk over those mountains all the time, just like they're billy goats. It's amazing. I'm huffing and puffing trying to get halfway up. And these people, because they grew up in it, they know it. They walk through snow up to 2,500 meters, these huge snow-capped, and that's what they do in summer. Incredibly fit people. I can't walk. I'm flat out walking up a mountain. Could you imagine fighting a battle up a mountain? The other thing is here, who can tell me what the cities are surrounded by? By a reading, sorry? Fences, walls, huge walled cities. Could you imagine fighting uphill against walled cities, against what people are there? Giants. The Anakims were the giants of the giants. If you read enough about scripture about them, these were the big boys. And Caleb said, give me that mountain. That is faith. Fighting uphill against huge city walls, against the greatest giants probably in the land, and Caleb says, I want them. I want them. A Gentile, not even a Jew, he wants to get into the fight for his Lord. Why? Because he loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with his whole heart. Now let's keep looking on. Give me that mountain. We sing a song about that, don't we? I remember a little Sunday school, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. That's what it's about. The Anakims were there, the cities were great and fenced. It's no wonder God picked this man for the job to lead Judah. Isn't it amazing? And this all hinges on verse 12b. I want to come back to it. And if so, it says, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Back 40 odd years earlier, God had told Caleb and all of those men that he could drive, he would drive them out. 40 years on, God and Caleb are still hanging on to the same promise. You know, sometimes we get a bit older and sometimes we get a bit longer in the teeth, but the promises that God has given us when the day we're born, the day we're saved, born again, are still the same. He has promised us that he will never leave us, never forsake us, and that he'll always be there by our side. Caleb is a wonderful example of this. Now, if so the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. You know, our faith is so small sometimes, isn't it? It really is. If only we could see God in the same light that this Gentile giant fighter could see of faith. Now, before we move on, I want you to notice the mountain and the land that Caleb was given. Verse 13 and 14, it says this of chapter 14. 13 and 14, it says, "And Joshua blessed him and gave to Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." Now Hebron, this is quite a famous place. The name means in the Hebrew, Chabar, C-H-A, two little dashes, and B-A-R. It means to join, to be fascinated, or to be in fellowship, is what this name means. Now, what would possibly be in Hebron that this great man of faith could be linked with? Why Hebron? Why did God give him this land? Well, let's see. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 23. We're right back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23, and I'm going to read from verse 18 to 20. Genesis 23. "Unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of the city, and after Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, from Mamre, the same is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession and a burying place for the sons of Heth." Hebron is the burying ground of the great men of faith. Abraham, Isaac, their families, their wives, were all buried in the land that Caleb was to inherit and fight for. Isn't it incredible how God put some great men of faith together in the same land, at the same place? Hebron was Abraham's burying place and final resting place. It was Caleb's mountain. He wanted that, and he wanted to fight for it. This place was a place of faith. This mountain, this land, was a land of faith. Caleb was a great man of faith. He acted in the same mould as those who went before him. And I was thinking on this scene, it was a great blessing to me to think about Joshua and Caleb entering the promised land, entering in to spy it out. And I couldn't help but see a beautiful picture of Jesus and his Gentile bride entering in by faith, passing through the land of heaven, viewing all of the amazing things that God had given them and prepared for them, and prepared especially for his son. You see, his bride and all that was to have is perfect, and it is all without one cost to the bride. Caleb had to go in and fight. He had to go in and fight those Anakim. And as we read, he got the land, he was delivered the land, and that became his inheritance. It became an amazing dwelling place for an amazing man of God. And my encouragement, young people and everybody here, is never give up. Never think the giants are too big in your life. That's what happened to God's people, the children of Israel. They looked at the giants, they looked at the land, and they said, "We can't take it." And one of the great amazing things, 5 years ago, myself and my son, we went to the land of Israel, as I shared this morning. And when you go through the description that the 12 spies seen and what was in that land, to go there 5 years ago and see that there's not a resemblance of anything left in that land at all. It is a land of rocks. It is a land of dust. It is a land of no trees. It was amazing. The only trees that grow there are gum trees. Thousands and thousands of gum trees have been planted all through the land of Israel, taken from Australia, because the goats and the sheep don't eat them. All along the River Jordan, my son Shiloh was baptized in the River Jordan, and the beautiful shade trees over the top of that big pool were beautiful gum trees. And that's about all that lasts and lives in that land. To read of the trees, to read of the beauty of the animals of the fields, to see what was there when God gave them, and to go there today has only happened because of one reason. They turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that picture was a picture of our Christian life, really. Take the Lord at his promise like Caleb did. You'll have that land. You'll have that promised land by faith. Don't turn your back. Don't doubt. God can deliver. And for every one of you in this room today, don't ever doubt that God can do it. You young people can be a Caleb all through your life. And I pray and I ask that you will be like that. God is able. God is well and truly able to use young men, old men, anybody, young women, any women. All you've got to do is be a man of faith. What was said about Caleb? He had a heart holy for the Lord his God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the last 2 or 3 days, Lord. I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that it has been for me, that we can think about our God and know that he is coming. Lord, you've told us to look up, that your redemption draweth nigh. And Lord, we do that by faith. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who delivers and a God who promises. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who keeps his promises. And I praise and thank you, Lord, for this church as I go on and move on tomorrow. Lord, that your blessings and your peace will be upon this building for many years to come, until your coming might be, Lord. Bless those who are in ministry and those who might come under this roof. Bless this building, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.